If you need to run to the restroom, go ahead, but I'm going to go ahead and turn to preach.
No, don't go.
Well, hey, he's got the pulpit, whatever you say.
Thanks, brother.
Yes, sir.
You should have done took care of that stuff, man. Now, Brother Reagan, I realize your head is puffed up right now. Because Brother Peacock, he compared you to Brother Lynch yesterday. He said you were the midget Lynch. Yeah, I'm talking, you're not. But I got news for you. Are you the only midget in here? Are you? I don't want to offend you or nothing, but midgets freaked him out. I mean, it was just like a thing with him, you know. If there was a midget around. Now, look, man, if you're a midget, I apologize. It freaked the man out. He was a little weird about that. All right, go over to Proverbs. Stand, sit, do whatever you want to. I really appreciate Brother Walker and Brother Stevens. Those are men that we need to not only respect, but we need to look to them for doctrinal guidance in the Scriptures. Even more so, I think, and I think I'm going to be careful about this, but I'm going to step on a limb. Even more so, I think, in our day and time than Schofield and Larkin. I mean, Schofield and Larkin were for the guys back in the... You know what? I think I can say this and be safe. I think that Schofield and Larkin were the guys that got Dr. Ruckman. Okay, now we listen to Dr. Ruckman. Now we've got Stevens and Walker. You see, and they're taking us further, and we need those guys. And so I think that's very important that we, you know, you pay attention. When his book comes out, buy the book. I mean, it's that good. It really has helped me. All right, look in Proverbs 27, just one verse. And look at verse 17. Proverbs 27:17. Both of these guys have kind of hit around it a little bit. It says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Brother Peacock, would you mind to pray, brother? Amen, amen. Last year, I listened and observed and watched Brother Peacock as he preached a message, an excellent message on auditory exclusion. Now, I was paying attention. Now, I wouldn't have preached it that way. I'd have said, some of you can't hear. But now he used a good thing that drew me into it, and I could pay attention to what he was saying. Now, he was talking about I can't hear, and I was sitting there thinking, big boy, you're going to have to change some stuff. And I looked at myself, the way that I approach some things and the way that I look at some things, and I said, man, there's some things you need to change. You cannot preach to six people the same way you do to 300. And there's a young lady that came to visit us just a couple of weeks ago. Her name is Leanne Mett. I don't know if she's here today, but I got to meet Leanne Mett. Look at that. I got to meet the Mett. And she came and sat down with us, you know, in our little church. And we don't have a big church. I mean, we've got, on good day, man, we got 10 folk. And I'm tickled to death with them 10 folk. You're looking at a happy man. And I'm tickled to death that I have what I have. I have something that I've never had before. I have complete liberty to be able to preach and teach the Word of God without anybody putting pressure on me, because ain't none of them know anything anyway, so without anybody putting pressure on me to expect me to be like somebody. Now, I am not Brother Peacock. I will never be Brother Peacock, but I sure do like him. I'm not Brother Knowles. There is no more. I mean, that is an individual that there will never be another one. I mean... But man, is he good. I mean, he is, I mean, he just gave us some great wisdom out of the Bible. And I need that guy. I will never be Kyle Stevens or David Walker. There's no way. I'm not an intellectual guy. I'm not that guy. And most of us in here are not those people. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm not saying, here's Brother Magdalene last year, and he preached a great message, and he's talking about jumping off the pinnacle of the temple. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I've never even thought about the pinnacle of the temple. And he's up here looking around at the pinnacle. I'm wondering, where is the pinnacle of the temple around here? You know, because it's got to, I guess Brother Peacock had it made into the building somewhere, and I guess Brother Sam had been trying to get up here and jump off of it or something, you know. But, I mean, it was an excellent man. I'm not even Brother Magdalene. Brother Magdalene's not me. I'm me. And I think that sometimes it's okay to emulate somebody for a little while, you know, until you get yourself, until you become who you are. But one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave me was a great friend. And I've got a good friend, and I love the guy. I'm not a queer, but I love the guy, you know. And he's good enough to me to where he's not afraid to tell me I'm stupid. And but he's nice about it. You know, he's really kind when he does. I'll call and ask him. You know, last year I kind of threw him under the bus. I said, you know, I think that we're sons and not sheep. And I drew Brother Walker into that. And then after I did, I thought, well, maybe he really don't agree with me. And here I have. I've excluded him out there amongst the crowd. Like, you know, me and him, we agree on this thing, you know. And he never said anything to me. He's that kind of friend. But I realize that, you know, spiritually speaking, we are sheep, but I'm a son of God. And so that's what I meant, you know. But he's real kind to me. He doesn't really say you're an idiot, you know, like Brother Peacock does, you know. I mean, we got the... I mean, if anybody missed that, some of us are idiots, you know. We definitely are idiots, you know. And a few midgets, not we're going to mention that again. But I mean, we're not going to get some of this stuff on the internet, folks. And I want to say at North Carolina, you just ain't going to get this, some of this stuff at the house. I mean, you got to be there. You got to be there amongst the people. And you've got to learn how to form relationships. I like Brother Elliot. He might not know that I like him, but I do like him. He is he's a good guy, and he's a great preacher. Picking on him a little bit. We all know it's coming around to an anchor somehow. There's going to be some Navy in there somehow, you know. I mean, but man, the guy's got passion. You got any? I mean, we all need people around us. But we also need somebody to look up to. Now, every Timothy needs a Paul, and every Paul needs a Timothy. But we also need Davids and Jonathans. Now, what I want to caution you about, and I'm not going to be very long. I mean, you can tell me, brother, this is, you know, like the craziest thing you ever heard in your life. But I just want to talk to you about relationships and friendships. I heard somebody say here a few years ago that if somebody is a good friend to you, don't be worried about them being a good friend to somebody else. And I'm kind of jealous of Brother Walker. I'm like I said, I'm not a fag or nothing, but I just soon you stay away from him. That's my friend. You know, I mean, I ain't married to him. Not going to marry him, but that's my bud. You know, you can shake his hand, but me and him's driving out of here together today. Okay, he rode with me. I mean, that's my bud right there. Now, you can kind of be an acquaintance with him, but you can't have him. Okay, that's mine. I think my point is I don't know how he feels about it, but I believe we've got a friendship that surpasses a relationship in marriage at times, and I ain't getting weird about that thing, but I mean, we are close friends. We have been through some things together. We have struggled together. He has been there for me and patted me on the back when I wanted to just, you know, just get out, just to be truthful. And I don't want to go there, but I just want you to know how far we've been. And I've been there with him when he was hurting. and we've patted each other on the back, and I want you to know that we cannot be an island. And I'm afraid sometimes sitting at home on your couch, and I've tried it, watching Brother Peacock, and I don't like it when you get to the end of the invitation and the camera pans up. I want to know who's going to the altar. I mean, man, I want to know if finally Brother Larry got right. Amen. So here I am. I'm up on the edge of the TV screen here, and I'm looking down thinking maybe I can, you know, where is Brother Larry? You know, there's some things you just can't get to house. I mean, you got to be here. You need to rub elbows with somebody. And you need to learn how to become a friend to people. You need to learn how to sit down with people and talk to people. And you need to learn how to form a relationship. And you need to realize it ain't all about you. It's all about Him. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. And don't lose sight of who the I am is. But if you break off the branch, there's not going to be a whole lot of nutrients going to you. And if you're sitting at the house as a branch, now let me qualify. I think we ought to qualify. I think everything we've said this week should have some qualification to it. This is if you can get to your church. I'm not talking to shut-ins. I'm not talking to people who may have some families that are sick and can't get there. Sometimes you got to take care of your wife. Sometimes you got to take care of your mom. Sometimes you got to take care of your husband. I'm not talking to that. But you see, I believe it's important for us to qualify those things. I think it's not only important to qualify, but to clarify that we know that the local church is not the body of Christ. Brother Peacock, he hit on that the other day. We are not Baptist Briders. We do not believe that. And I don't want that to get out across the internet that we believe that we are Baptist Briders, because we are not. We completely understand what the body of Christ is. I can get you to the verses to show us what the body... I know where 1 Corinthians 12 is. I know how to get us there. But now here's the thing. People will take what we say, little chunks of it, and they will edit that thing, and they will put it out there and say, all them people are just a bunch of briders down there in Jacksonville instead of out there in Springfield. And I had to deal with those folks when I was in Kansas, and we are not briders. But now, on the other hand, we sure do need this place. I've got some things I need to learn. I need to grow. I have really enjoyed seeing Manning. I know you as Brother Josh, and it's hard for me to call you Brother Manning because I've always called you Brother Josh. But I've enjoyed seeing him grow over the years. I've enjoyed seeing Brother Holland. I don't have any problem with his name because he's got two, you know, last names, you know. I've never met a fella that had two last names. I can't get it, man. I've enjoyed seeing him grow over the years and develop and become a good preacher. And, you know, I'm not too scared of dying anymore. Not that I am anyway, but I know when we're gone. Man, they got it. And I can remember your sermons. I mean, you are saying things that are affecting people, and I can remember what you say. I mean, you're not a baby no more, man. You've grown up. You've matured. You've become something. So pay attention to him. Be the Timothy to that Paul, and he'll take you somewhere. And we need more of that. Now, I'm trying to get around. I like this right here is Brother Holden. And he is becoming my friend. I mean, I don't know him great, but he drives a Dodge, but I can get over that part. But he's becoming my friend. He's a good guy. He's pastored a church in Cullowhee, North Carolina for 19 years. Right now he's running about 45 people. Amen. Now you say after 19 years he ought to be running 200-300. Not in Cullowhee, North Carolina. You just don't understand the area that we're in. I think it's an absolute miracle we got 10 people coming to church. I mean, we're in a tough area, folks. You know what I'm loving? I'm on the radio twice a week. And I have absolutely loved being on the radio. And I've got so many listeners. I think I'm up in the tens of thousands now, you know. I mean, it might be. I'm lying. I think I've got one or two. I mean, man, they went hook, line, and sinker in for that one, man. It was like, wow, tens of thousands, huh? Yeah. YouTube preacher, brother. I'm a YouTube preacher. Amen. I don't have a big following like that, but I think somebody's listening. I think on Monday morning when it's a country music station, you say, oh, you're apostate. Yeah, you are. Yeah. And on Monday morning, right before me, J. Vernon McGee comes on. And then to get me. I mean, come on. How much better could that be? I mean, if you was in Canton, would you not listen to that combination? I mean, J. Vernon McGee sets me up and I knock it slap out the park, baby. Amen. That man has never had as good a time, even though he's dead, he's never had as good a time as he's having right now. Just because I got to join the radio station. But I think we're affecting some things. I think we're doing something. Every time on Monday, right after the radio broadcast, I get to go on there on my little, I got this app for our web page, you know. It's not YouTube, it's a web page. And I get to go see that there's a bunch of people on there checking that thing out. So I'm thinking maybe, I don't know, a couple years down the road, there might be a couple of them folks come on in there. When we first started out, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to think I'm apostate. When we first started out, we had folks coming to church, grown men, humans, in shorts and T-shirts. So do you know what my first message was? You ungodly human being. Coming to a church house in shorts and a T-shirt. You're going to hell. No, sir, buddy. I went back there. I shook their hand. I told them they was welcome to be there. I said, thank God you keep on coming. You wear your shorts, your T-shirt. I'll take you every day of the week. I tell you what else we got. We got somebody's been divorced and remarried. Yep. In North Carolina, I've got two people sitting in that church been divorced and remarried and almost ousted out of the churches that they were going to. They come in there, they sit down. Matter of fact, I taught marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Didn't tape it because I was afraid, you know, all you'd listen to it and you'd criticize me about it. And then you'd go to Brother Stevens and Brother Walker and say, I want to know, is Brother Wheeler telling the truth here? And then I'd have to answer to them two for a while, and I ain't doing it. So if I was wrong, you'll never know it. I got news for you. I don't think everything we do ought to be on the Internet. Amen. I was picking on you about the invitation. Really, that's a smart thing to do. I was watching the night that you were going to have the Lord's Supper. Man, me and Karen, we were dressed up, had my cup, had my cracker. We was going to participate, man. We didn't have no church. And so all of a sudden it blacked out. I was like, what? You got to be kidding me. All right, turn on Duke. We're going. I mean, if we can't watch it, we're watching some basketball, baby. Come on now. Ford pickup trucks and Duke basketball, and then you know you're saved. I mean, that's Jim Lynch's, you know, that's his philosophy, bud. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Brother Magdalene, you need a Josh and a Woodard. You know why you need them? Because Brother Josh is going to look at you sometimes and say, Brother, what in the world are you talking about? Now, see, nobody else in here can do that because that would be very disrespectful for somebody else in here to do that to you. And I'm not saying, I realize you're the associate pastor, and I know you've got a good relationship with him, but sometimes you need somebody to bounce something off of. Iron sharpeneth iron. And you need another piece of iron to sharpen you up every once in a while. Look in, I'll get there in a minute. I think, is that New Testament? I think 1 Thessalonians. Come on, guys, laugh a little bit. Don't worry, I got Brother Walker here to straighten me out if I can't find it. Look in verse 2, 1 Thessalonians 3 and 2. He says, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer, that's the way we ought to be, and minister of God and our brother and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Man, we need a Timothy and a Paul. You need a David, and you need a Jonathan, and your hearts need to be knit together. Brother Reagan, thanks for letting me pick on you a little bit, but you know, you need a, you got to have a Jonathan, brother. You got to have a David. You got to have somebody with your heart, especially as far up as you guys are. I mean, they can't be too many saved folk up there. You got it. Well, I mean, okay, now. Oh, now, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so now here we are. Yeah, it's okay. Here is Brother Stevens in Texas. Everybody's saved. By the time you get up to Michigan, ain't nobody saved. I mean, yeah, there you go. You gotta have somebody that you can talk to who is like-minded like you are. You got to have some. Now, that was the thing that happened to me when I went to Kansas, as I was isolated. And here's A.P. Gibbs. He says this in that book that you guys, I think, are still required to read for the preaching class. He said, God does not mean to put us out there in some monastic isolation. He mean for us to have fellowship. Reckon that fella right there in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 2, reckon that's having a little fellowship under Brother Mike. I like to go eat with that guy. I'm not a big talker. Now, you may find this a shocker, but he carries the conversation. I just sat down, ate my food. He talked the whole time. I had to wait on him to eat because he talked, you know. And my wife does the same thing, so I'm used to it. I mean, it's the way it works for me. You know, I'm not a big talker. But now, you got to learn to have some fellowship. You ain't that special. I'm not that special. You're not that special. I mean, we all serve Jesus Christ. We're all here for Him, right? Isn't there something, you know, about the gospel of Christ in that verse right there? Ain't that why we're here? It's not to see which one's smarter than the other. Hey, I'll submit. Man, these guys are smarter than I am. None of you are, but they are. We're not here for that. We're not here to battle and say, man, Brother Wheeler, he can out-preach anybody. Brother Knowles, he just put us all under the table. I mean, it was good, man. Now, when I leave, I'll tell Brother Walker something else, so don't get the big head. Need some fellowship. You know what? You can't do somebody else's ministry. Too many Christians, too many Bible-believing preachers are real bad about doing this. They go out to the battle with Saul's armor on. You know what I had to learn to do? Learn to find my own sling. I had to go down the creek and find my own stones because I couldn't use his no more. You can't either. I had to find my own sling, my own stones. I had to get my own pouch. I mean, I'm a Bible believer. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I can't be somebody else, but that man can sharpen me. He can make me better than what I am. I heard a football player say not long ago, they was doing an interview with him. You know, I was watching on TV. I know I'm a heathen, I realize. But I heard this football player say this. He said, find the man who hates you the most and is trying to tear you down, and he will make you stronger. Now, Brother David don't hate me, and he ain't trying to tear me down, but the man is making me stronger. When I've got doctrinal questions, I go to him. When I got church questions, who do you think I go to? I mean, that's the guy right there, isn't it? Some of you think you're the guy. You ain't the guy. That's the guy. I mean, this is mantle done fail right here, boys. It's on him. It is on him. And I wanted it. Just so you know, I was a little jealous, but. And doggone if you didn't take my text last night. I mean, here you're beating him up for taking your text, and I was 2 Kings 2. I wanted it so bad I couldn't stand it. And he said 2 Kings 2, and I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. As a guy at work, I'm done. As a guy at work, he's 26, I'm 56. That's a little age gap. He was trying to tell me something one day, and we was up on ladders. And I was like this. I didn't want to say it to him. I just wasn't getting it. And he finally looked at me. He said, you just ain't picking up what I'm putting down, are you? I said, nope, I sure ain't. I said, would you mind to explain that a little bit? He said, sure. So he went into this thing, you know. I got to thinking about, you know, that mantle. How that thing fell. And Elisha had to make the choice to go over there and get it. That wasn't his first dealing with the mantle. First time Elijah comes along and he throws that thing on him. And Brother Walker made a good point. He said, yeah, and Elijah must have got that thing back before 2 Kings chapter 2. Because when he went up in that chariot, the mantle fell. So here's the mantle laying on the ground. I thought the power was in the mantle. I wanted the mantle. I used to think, man, if I could just get around him, maybe. So Elisha, he goes over and he picks up that mantle and he goes over the water, and what does he say? He didn't say, where's the mantle? What does he say? Ain't that what we ought to be crying? Not where's the mantle. Look here, folks. The first time that Elijah came by, he said this. He said, Elisha, will you follow me? Elisha went after him. Second time he had to deal with that mantle, you know what happened? Mantle falls off. You know what Elijah was saying, or the Lord was saying essentially? Will you go on without me? He goes over that river. He cracks that thing open. Or actually, God cracks the thing open. But wouldn't you like to have been there? I don't know that he was quiet. Will you allow me to do this? I've had to really tone it down. Brother Evans asked me, he said, brother, he said, can you, in his Michigan voice, he said, can you tell me how you've approached the church you're at now as the one you did at Bridgeport? I was thinking, yeah, 180 degrees. Totally different. So when I preach to them, I talk to them like this. If I get her up in a high hum, I'm going to kill them. So here's Elisha. Standing out there with that mantle in his hand. Just please bear with me. Cover your ears if you gotta. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Why are the preachers not crying that? Instead of where is the mantle? You can have the mantle, man. I want the Lord God of Elijah. I want the Lord God that put the power in the mantle to be able to make that thing part the waters. I want him. I don't care about the mantle. I want the God behind the mantle. And that's what we all need. You need to find you a friend that'll help you and keep you close to the Lord God of Elijah. Amen, brother. Come here.